Calvary, a mountain of mercy. And several of the songs that we sang today were about mercy and our worship. And the Lord has laid on my heart the last several months that we really need to seek the mercy of God. It's not that we deserve not what we deserve, but mercy. I read something a couple of weeks ago and I couldn't access it before I got this sermon together, but it was, grace is the unmerited favor of God, and more or less said mercy is being spared what we have coming. Or, you know, like we deserve judgment and we get forgiveness. And so mercy is, in a great part, forgiveness. So I want to turn to the book of Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And where we're going to draw the major part of our scripture for this sermon this morning is the repentance and the repentant prayer of David. We remember that David had an affair with Bathsheba, and that he eventually had her husband murdered. And Nathan the prophet, and he was covering for his sin in doing that. One thing led to something even worse. And he was telling, or Nathan the prophet was telling David a story. There was this great rich man that owned lots and lots of sheep. And it came time for a sacrifice, and he went to his neighbor's house and stole the one little ewe lamb that he had to take for that sacrifice. And David became indignant. He was so mad. And he said, just tell me who that man is, and I will bring judgment. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. And David immediately, now David was a king, he could have whacked off Nathan's head, but instead he went to God, and this is his prayer. I'm going to read the first verse and we'll pray. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to, and get this, the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Pray strength and blessing upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, that you'll direct, Lord, that you'll direct us in this word, and that you'll bring strength to every heart. And Lord, let us comprehend today how big, how mighty, and how powerful your mercy is. Let us feel that mercy and appreciate what you've given us, the great gift of your tenderness and mercy. Amen. I love mountains. Maybe because I was sitting with my sister-in-law's dad yesterday, and he was telling me about stories from Kentucky. He said, oh, it's amazing when you're a hillbilly, you have all these mountains. I said, yeah, but you don't see much sun because the mountains keep the sun away in the morning and cut it off. Yeah, he said you had to hurry and get your jobs done. But I love mountains. And my favorite mountain of all is Shasta. Because number one, if you see Mount Shasta, you almost always recognize it. Where we might not recognize it was if it had absolutely no snow on it. Then it looked kind of like other mountains, but it has a distinct look. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and of course we appreciate the lake that is nearby. But as I've been praying, and I know we've thought of mercy as being like a river, mercy, a river of mercy, and also a fountain of mercy, or, you know, something along that relating to waters, the waves of mercy. But I've just been touched by the fact that the mercy of God is as big as a mountain. I want you to understand it's all about how big and how great that mercy is in your life toward you. And that there is an absolute endless supply of mercy. Not only that, an absolutely, it's overwhelming and takes care of every need, and it lasts forever. That's the key. It lasts forever. And mercy in through Jesus Christ is reconciliation that God gave us the opportunity for, the reconciliation so we could fellowship with Him. Our sins are wiped away. So I'm going to go on and read a few more. I'm going to read a lot. If you got 51, just hang in there with me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. The bones that was broken was somewhat the heart of David, in that he was found out. Hide your face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities, and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This, to me, is evident in this psalm, that David's heart was broken for the wrong, the much wrong, the tremendous transgressions. If he had been anyone other than the king, he may have had to be put to death for his sins, for many of them. But he was a king, and he realized the power that he had, the covering that he had, but he could take it to God and be forgiven. So these, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure in Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. They shall offer bulls on your altar. I want us to understand that the offerings of sacrifices mean absolutely nothing to God when a heart is not contrite, when a heart is not repentant, when a heart is not broken up over the sins. I don't know who we were talking to. It might have been just Debbie and I about how, well, it might well have been. We drove into the driveway this morning of the church, and there were a mess of bottles and things, like someone took their trash and dumped them in the parking lot of the church. Now, that used to be even more back when there was the bodega bar across the street. They would leave empty beer bottles and cigarette butts everywhere, and it was just a mess, absolute mess. And we had to do a cleanup. I think Brother Hastings was pastoring then, and he kind of had to walk the parking lot just so people wouldn't run over the debris. And there is the mindset of the world is filthy, ugly, despicable, ungodly, unrepentant. That's them. But we are God's chosen. And David was chosen, and the scripture says he had a heart after God. And this demonstrates why God said that. It's because when he sinned, he realized the sin, and he admitted to it. So have mercy upon me, O God, is the first words that he speaks. Have mercy on me, O God. David and Moses and Abraham were mighty men of God. I've probably preached sermons that you could be just like Moses, and we can have attributes of Moses, but there's not one of us, no one alive is going to be exactly like Moses, a great deliverer of 2.5 to 3.5 million people out of the bondage of Egypt into as close as he could get to the promised land. And then Joshua took it from there and brought the people into the promised land. That's a big undertaking, and Moses was absolutely a special individual, as along with Abraham, a friend of God, and David, who had the heart after God. However, let me read a scripture for you in John 19 and verse 30. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Why I'm telling you that there is a mountain of mercy, and that that mountain of mercy happened on Mount Calvary. Jesus died, and he bought for us a better covenant than what David knew. David sang and prayed and talked about mercy all the time. But we have mercy that is even greater than what David ever knew. Because the mercy he got was from a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and he got mercy because of the sacrifices that God had instituted under the law. But today, folks, we have mercy because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. And that mercy, I think David said that the multitude of your tender mercies. And I am absolutely grateful that when God deals with us, what we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is hell. Amen? What we deserve is hell, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus has died on Calvary so that we can obtain this mercy, so that we all can walk under the blessings and the strength of God, and that the mercy umbrella that covers us will be forever, everlasting mercy. I want us to, and our sins are not just covered, but they are gone. That's amazing. There's some commercials with the magician that's doing these different tricks, and I like magicians. I know some people think it's black magic or something, but when these guys just with sleight of hand can deceive a whole bunch of people, I think that's kind of cool. And so if you don't like it, that's fine. You keep your own opinion. That's great with me. But when sins are gone, that's the greatest blessing ever. Just as if I had never sinned. I'm justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. I want to go to the New Testament, to Ephesians 2, and we're going to read a few scriptures there, 1 through 10. And these are great scripture for leading people to Christ. And the word says, and you may, and And you, now this is the New Testament. This is right down our alley. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Paul was speaking to pagan people that had done ungodly things, even in their worship. Their religion was sinful. And he said, but you, he made alive. In the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You followed the devil. That's all there is to it. You followed the devil, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So this is people doing what people wants to do. And that tends to be very sinful, very disobedient to the righteousness of our God, to the holiness of God. And understand this, that God did not use his holiness to push us away. He didn't say, oh, I'm holy, you guys are filthy little guys. I have an uncle that they say used to dress really, really good. And when we would come around, we little dirty kids, he'd say, get back away from me. He's overcome that now and a lot more accepting of us little kids. But he, the last one on my mom's side, the last uncle we have. But God used his righteousness to show mercy. When he could have judged us and sent us all to hell, he sent us his son to die on the cross. For God so loved this world. But this, here we are in a big mess. One of the comedian teams used to say, now we're in a fine mess. I forget which one that is, or Laurel and Hardy. I didn't know if it was Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello, and a lot of the young people don't know either one of those groups. But they were the funny guys back years ago. So we were in a fine mess. And then verse 4 says, but God is rich in mercy. Now, how many likes the word rich? I've always wanted to be that. That's kind of a cool place to be. Rich. Rich. Rich means wealthy, abounding in material resources, or just abounding, or abundantly supplied. Kind of get the idea of you're not going to run out. Don't you like that? Just, you're not going to run out. You're fine. You don't have to worry. God was rich in mercy. God was rich in mercy because of the great love. Oh, my goodness. You know that mercy is powered by God's love. Oh, the great love that with which he loved us, even as we were dead in sins, while we were yet in our sins, he loved us. He loved us. And he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We need to understand that. It's by grace that we've been saved, the unmerited favor of God. And raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We've been taken from the fine mess to fellowship in a high spiritual place. A high spiritual place. And to fellowship with the Lord one-on-one. That in ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, here's a big one. Here is a big one. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you didn't get saved because you were good. You got saved even though you were bad. How many can say amen to that? I don't mean to be uncomfortably silent, but in all that we do, in all of our mistakes, and of all of our failures, What does God do? Reaches out with mercy, tender, tender mercy. For we are his works, lest anyone, or not of our works, lest anyone for boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's amazing the mercy that is our salvation. That is the total thing of Jesus dying on the cross. In the Psalms, we go back in 89 and 1 and 2, it says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness, your mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. We can sing of the mercies because we've experienced his mercy in our lives. In 89 and 14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth grow before your face. Mercy has to be coupled with truth. That's the way that it works. And I'm going to deny the temptation to read the whole Psalms 100, just that last verse, which is verse number, let me focus in, 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. I'm glad his mercy is everlasting. Wouldn't you hate to have mercy expire like milk? And you got to watch that milk. I pour a little bit and taste it almost all the time because I don't want to make the big mistake of ruining my breakfast or whatever. But mercy is everlasting. There's no expiration date on it. It is forever. When you accept the mercy of God that's given to us because of his great love, it is forever. Are you with me? I appreciate that. I get a little bit bummed when the Schweigerts keep saying, you can do better than that. Well, maybe I don't want to do better than that. Excuse me just a minute. I'm going to read one more scripture and we're ready. Thank you. I promised last Sunday night that we were going to do communion today, and I think it's a good time to do it. But I didn't think about it before service. So I asked Don if he'd help me. So he's making up for my not thinking about it. We're going to have communion because I think there's no greater way to kind of accept the mercy of God than through communion. In Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, very familiar scripture, right? Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Jesus is our sacrifice, and he is a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. I love Jesus, don't you? He's the only way to salvation. I know people say, well, there's no other way. He is it. I heard a guy, he wrote a book, and he said, there's many fingers to God. There is not. There's only one way. Only one way. That's why when someone knows Christ, they know what this means. It's Jesus only. Not in the way that you might think. It's Jesus only. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And absolutely, Christ is our way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You say, oh man, I messed up. Jesus knows the temptation. Only he knows how to. He didn't make the mistakes we've made. But he understands. He understands because in this fleshly body, he knew the same temptations. But he can sympathize with our weakness and our failures. He was all in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. I'm not talking about an attitude of, God, you better do this, or God, you better do that. That's not bully. That's dumb. That's making a big mistake. God owes you nothing. But you can come boldly to the throne of grace, which is the unmerited favor of God. Don't deserve a thing. But because he's extended that mercy, he's reached to us and our failures and mercy, we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So Jesus has died for your salvation, your healing, eternal life. Wow, what a deal. No one in the world offers that kind of, and what do I have to do? You have to confess Jesus as Lord of all. You have to ask him to forgive you of your sins. I have a lot of people that I watch on Facebook, and I like doing it. I've met a lot of people who say, oh, I don't do Facebook, and that's fine. But I like watching what people do. Sometimes they do some very bad things and say some very bad things. When they do that too long, boom, I have to get them off because it's not worth it. I have to, what do you call it? Not unfriend, but mute, unfollow. Because I don't want to hear all of that. But I like to see in the places we're doing good. But I see a lot of people that don't follow the Lord very faithfully, and they act like they should be preaching in church the next Sunday. And I don't get that too much. But at the same time, Jesus has said, Paul writing in Hebrews, as we believe he did, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain the mercy to find help in the time of whatever you need. He's reaching out to us. We used to have an old brother, Brother Jones, in Alameda Church, and we had a partition that came out. And he would get right next to the partition. He was somewhat frail, and he would sing, "When the Lord reached down his hand for me," and he would reach over that, and I'm thinking, okay now, Brother Jones, hang in there. And he'd reach as far as he could. See, that's what the mercy of Jesus is. He's not just died and made something available, but he reaches to people. He reaches out. He cares. And some way or another, we're praying that the Lord will give Calvary Temple the reach to bring in, because there's a lot of people that need Jesus. There's a lot of people that need healing. They're hurt. There's a lot of people that have wounds in their lives. They've been hurt and treated poorly by someone else. And a lot of times that even happens in church. We've seen it in Calvary Temple. It would be a lie if we said differently. There are people that have been hurt. And what we want to do is to build up and to strengthen and to help. Let's pray, and then we'll take our communion. Lord, we're thankful for mercy. And I pray, Lord, that the formula of salvation will be so in our heart that it'll be like the thing that we do to reach out to lost, that if they will just confess with their mouth and believe in you, that you're the Savior and Lord, there can be a transformation that takes place in their heart and life. We need, oh Lord, we need to see souls born again in this church. We need children. We desperately want more children. We want, Lord God, to reach out to the younger generation and help and mentor them and nurture them. We have a great legacy in this church of ministering to children, and we want to see that restored. We ask in Jesus' name, and Lord, that you'll touch every spirit, every soul that's here this morning. As we take communion, just renew us in the salvation and in the mercy that you've already worked in us. We're grateful. We're grateful, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for a mercy that's bigger than a mountain, that can flow in our lives and overwhelm any situation. And today we come boldly at your throne of grace, seeking that mercy. In Jesus' name, we pray. Donnie, can you help us with distribution? Really good. have the pull top. That'll release your cracker. And then the other one, your juice. I don't want to tell you what kind of a mess I made of mine already. Didn't spill anything, though. Henry, would you ask the blessing over the bread? Amen. So Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, and he broke and broken it, said, take, eat. This is my holy body, which is broken for you. This brings our mercy. This do you in remembrance of me. Would you take the bread? Just give it a minute and it kind of melts away. We're thankful for the body broken for us. And Dom, would you ask the blessing over the blood, over the cup? And in the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Till he come, let's take together. Let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for mercy illustrated in your broken body and your shed blood. Love grew where the blood fell. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. We remember your suffering. And we thank you for eternal life, for great mercy, overwhelming mercy, overwhelming mercy. Thank you. Lord, how you deeply care for us. Jesus, you draw us near to you with your holiness and righteousness, and you make us righteous. We thank you, Lord, for taking away our sin, cleansing us from all filthiness of sin and unrighteousness, and make us holy as you're holy. We give you glory. Thank you for your tenderness and your mercy. Thank you, precious holy Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone need prayer this morning? We'll come to you. It's almost like delivery service. Let's just once again, Lord, we're thankful for your church. We're thankful, Lord, for your spirit. We pray that you'll be with those that are going to travel and those who are traveling now. We pray blessing and strength Lord, we thank you for your greatness. Amen. Amen. As they say, you can consider yourselves dismissed, because you are.